You said you are from Riga? Oh, I think I remember. Riga is the capital of Latvia, right? Oh no, sorry. I think it's part of Russia, or maybe even part of Sweden. Those are a few examples of what people have said to me when we are talking about the great city of Riga. But rest assured, Riga is proudly the heart of Latvia. While Latvia might be a small country with less than 2 million people living there, our historical heritage is extensive and dates back to 1201. At least that's the official date, but we will talk about that a little bit later. The most important thing is that you're here and you want to learn Riga's or even Latvia's history as a whole. I will give you all the necessary and maybe some useless facts about Riga's history, and after this audio tour, you will be more educated than some Riga's residents who have lived here for decades. And don't you worry, this will not be your typical tour with useless information and dry numbers. I'm one of the youngest certified tour guides, and I will give you a fresh perspective of Riga's history without the historical bias that some older guides unfortunately possess. So without further ado, let's start from the very beginning. Everything started at the end of the 12th century when German merchants and crusaders arrived in the Baltic region to expand their influence in Northern Europe. This decision ended up being so profitable and militarily significant that regimes until this day are trying to get this area as their own. Lots of blood has been spilled here in the past 800 years, but the first significant death occurred in 1198, near what is now known as Riga, marking the first recorded use of the name Riga in the Indric Chronicle. But you may ask who was killed in 1198? It depends on who you ask. If you ask Christians, they would say it was their predecessor and hero who fought for God's will against pagans. But if you ask pagans, they would say it was an evil man who came from a faraway land and tried to take their home and everything that they possessed at the time. Nonetheless, his name was Berthold of Hanover. But let's be real, you will probably forget his name in the next 5 minutes. So everything you need to know about him is that he was the crusaders' initial leader, commonly called Bishop Berthold. Now we can skip 3 years in the future, when the third bishop of Ekskile decided to move the bishopric center of Livonia to Riga because Riga was more suitable for bigger settlements and had better geographical location. Trying to summarize the whole history of Riga in a couple minutes is almost impossible because there are hundreds of quote-unquote side quests that I need to fill because without them, the story doesn't make sense. And one of these side quests is to answer the question of what even is Ekskile. Ekskile is one of the oldest settlements in modern Latvia's territory, where the first ever brick-laying church was located in Baltic countries. But let's jump back to our timeline. After Bishop Albert relocated from Ekskile to Riga, he began fortifying the area after negotiating with the pagans, making 1201 the official founding year of Riga. By 1202, German landowners had started to settle in the region. Riga gradually became a base for operations against local Baltic tribes and flourished as a trade center in the 13th century, essentially becoming the central point of the Northern Europe trading route. Over the next 300 years, Riga gradually grew bigger and bigger. Of course, there were some pretty big setbacks during this time, like the city burning down, maybe more than a few times, but overall, Riga was well established at this point. By the late 16th century, there was a big problem. Riga became too big for its boots, and we all know what happens when something or someone becomes too powerful and starts asking for more and more. After Riga residents and higher-ups started to disagree on things, then all hell broke loose. There were persistent disputes among Riga's inhabitants, including bishops, the Knights of the Sword, later the Livonian Order, and local landowners, which sometimes led to armed conflicts. One thing led to another, and slowly but surely, things started to change. The big turning point was following the Livonian War, 1558 to 1583. Riga fell under Polish control after the collapse of Livonia. And you think now Riga will be safe from future conflicts? No, the opposite thing just happened. And once again, Riga was in the middle of the big European conflict. And this time it was Poland's and Sweden's fault, commonly called the Polish-Swedish War. Only after 28 years, Poles lost their control over Riga and unwillingly gave it to Swedish rule in 1621. After that, Riga became the administrative center of Sweden's Baltic territories. Maybe now Riga will be conflict-free for the next 100 years? No, because it's Europe. And what is Europe without wars? Right? The 18th century began with the Great Northern War, where Russia and Sweden battled for control of the Baltic region. After a prolonged siege and plague epidemic, Riga was captured by Russia in 1710. In the late 18th century, Riga's industry expanded rapidly, diminishing the remnants of German influence. Guilds were the first victims of quote-unquote big cleaning operations. By the 19th century, Riga had become a major seaport of the Russian Empire and a crucial railway hub. And there's a really simple explanation for that. We all know that the Russian Empire and the Russian state as it is now is humongously large, but size is not always the answer. Because the majority of Russian seaports are not usable throughout the winter, and those who are usable are not in the strategically usable places. Therefore, they were putting all the eggs in the Riga's basket because of its location and usage throughout the winter. Thanks to the Russian Empire's efforts to make Riga the hub of opportunities, the city's area and population expanded significantly in the late 19th and early 20th centuries, making it the second largest city in Western Russia after St. Petersburg by 1913. Unfortunately, the golden years for Riga's growth had to end on a really sad note, thanks to the war that needed to end all wars, in other words, World War I, but as we all know, that didn't happen, and World War II happened soon after that. Sorry for spoiling your history. World War I was a turning point for Riga, as it became a frontline city from 1915 to 1917. Approximately 200,000 workers and their families were evacuated to Central Russia, along with many industrial companies that took their equipment with them, destroying hopes in rapid economic development after the war. After World War I, the opportunity to establish an independent Latvia arose, and on November 18, 1918, the Republic of Latvia was proclaimed. The Latvian War of Independence followed, during which Riga experienced severe hardship and multiple regime changes between 1918 and 1919. But that's for a different day. Throughout the 1920s and 1930s, Riga developed into a center for trade, culture, and education, and once again was ready for the next chapter. During this time, Latvia was ruled by an authoritarian leader called Karlis Ulmanis, who partly destroyed some old town's historical buildings, in which places he wanted to build a highway throughout Riga's center. But fortunately, he was forced to leave the country, and his will never came true. But the most important thing that the guy said during the Soviet occupation was, "You stay in your place, I will stay in mine." We will talk about this silly guy later in the tour. As I mentioned previously, Soviet forces occupied Riga on June 17, 1940, during World War II. Riga's old town, port, and railways were heavily damaged, but no irreversible damage was done. After the war, Riga emerged as a major center in the Western Soviet Union with significant industrial and military development. This period saw extensive immigration from other Soviet republics, causing Riga's population to drastically change. To be fair, Riga has never been a Latvian-dominated city. It's always been influenced by bigger nations like Germans, Russians, and Swedes. But during the Soviet regime, the change was the most detrimental for the Latvian capital city. During 1941 and 1949, the Soviet regime deported more than 75,000 people to Siberia and different camps to fight against nationalists and get rid of people who could be agents against the Soviet regime. Mostly, it was fabricated just to deport as many people as possible. As Latvia sought to restore its independence, Riga became the epicenter of the awakening movement. In January 1991, citizens erected barricades in Riga to resist potential attacks from Soviet military units. But thankfully, there were no big-scale conflicts, only a couple of pathetic attacks from the Soviets, where unfortunately a couple of Latvians lost their lives. Overall, this was an unwavering stand against the regime because it was a peaceful protest with no guns, and we showed the world and, most importantly, the Soviet regime that we want our freedom and we are united. Glory to Latvia, and of course, shout out to Riga. And with that, you have been enlightened with 800 years of Riga's history in about 10 minutes. So now we can all take a breather, one, two, three, and let's start with a tour.